Some more thoughts, some more reflections. I've turned over now into John chapter 16. And we've focused so far on love and grace in turmoil and agony. But I want us now to bring that with us. Don't forget about those things. But I want us to put that in context alongside love and grace being mapped out by Jesus with his disciples. And love and grace as the promise of joy. In John 13... Jesus washed his disciples' feet with the instruction that the demonstration of that humble service, that humble act of service that he had shown them, that this is what they needed to be like, humble servants. And then in chapter 14, Jesus begins to talk about leaving the disciples and is faced with their concern and responds to their concerns. And he promises the presence of the Holy Spirit to always be with them. And that leads into chapter 15 with a lesson on the importance of staying firmly rooted into all that he's taught them. That's the bit in John 15 about the vine and the branches. And then when we come to chapter 16, we have here of another reminder that Jesus gives to his disciples of how he's mapping out that love and grace would always be with them, so they need not be concerned. And Jesus speaks here again about the work of the Holy Spirit being with his disciples. He speaks here somehow with absolute more certainty that he is going away. And what's going on in John's gospel is that Jesus is making sure that the love and grace that he has been living by and demonstrating are actually clearly mapped out for all time. The disciples didn't need to be concerned about the uncertainty that was ahead of them. It's understandable that they were, but Jesus was simply trying to say to them, look, you know, I've got it all mapped out. It's all in place. You just need to trust me. Trust in the presence of God to be with you at all times through the Holy Spirit. The disciples are still confused, though, and so we come to this part of John 16. I'm going to read verses 17 down into the chapter, down to 24. Because this is where we hear Jesus promising joy, love and grace as the promise of joy. Some of the disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, because I am going to the Father? What does he mean? They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what it meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will see, you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Then in the conversation that follows, Jesus has seen that they still have so many questions. So many questions all the way through here. The disciples just want to, just can't comprehend what on earth is it that's going on. So in verses 22 to 24, Jesus is being realistic. Jesus is realistic. He doesn't deny the fact that the disciples will feel grief-stricken that he is leaving them. Jesus doesn't dodge the difficult questions or the harsh reality of the moment, but he acknowledges it. But things don't end there either, do they? Because Jesus is also reassuring. Linking back to what I said just now about the sense of abandonment of the cross being horrific, but not without purpose. Well, here the sense of purpose is clear. All that Jesus is saying that would happen soon after is to make their joy complete. To make joy complete. The joy of knowing Jesus, of trusting him, of believing in him, embracing him, is that in him alone, we know we have our eternal hope, don't we? Jesus talks at the end of this section about a time to come when the believers will be scattered. But even then, it's not the end, because the victory of the cross is undefeatable. We're only touching on some snippets of all of this conversation and some of the teaching that Jesus gave over this time leading up to the cross. But it's all so important that we get a hold of this and we pause for long enough to remember this is the journey, where the journey to Easter Sunday begins. In verses 29 to 30, the disciples reflect their belief and trust and understanding in Jesus. But there's also that warning there that there will be a time when they'll be scattered. And that's the thing that needs to bring them back to what Jesus said to them before, be on your guard and keep praying. Be on your guard and keep praying. So let's just bring our two points of reflection together then. The love and grace in Jesus was demonstrated in turmoil and agony and spoken about in ways that had things mapped out so clearly to lead to the promise of joy and hope. Don't separate out the anguish and the agony from the joy and hope. Bring them all together. Hold on to them together. Jesus said, all this is for you. My love and grace is for you. Gather together in my name. Remember what I have taught you. Guard the gospel of joy and hope and pray. And do these things in remembrance of me. And that's what we're coming to do now. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. We're going to share communion together.